He had a wonderful week at Vacation Bible School, and I too want to express my appreciation and thanks for all of the effort and all of the sacrifices that have been made for the church's contribution. This is a great outreach for our church. I was sitting across from a family down in the fellowship hall Friday night, and they were talking about their kids and their Vacation Bible School is going on the same week as ours. And they asked the kids, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Victory or do you want to go to our church? And they said, we want to go to Victory. And so we've had the privilege to share the good news about Jesus Christ, how to have access to the Father solely through the mediator. We've had some wonderful opportunities to share the truth of the gospel with a lot of children. And it may be the only opportunity they ever get to hear the truth. What is that worth? It's priceless, isn't it? And isn't that the great mission of the church? And every sacrifice, everything that was done, all the people that participated, all the funds that were provided by the church and by the contributions, you made that possible. Yeah. And so I thank you, and some soul may thank you in glory. Some soul may thank you in glory. But our kids, we've got the best. We've got the best Vacation Bible School, hands down, in Hendersonville. We just don't want everybody knowing about this because we couldn't handle any more kids. Okay? We can only handle so many. But hands down is the best Vacation Bible School in Hendersonville. And this church has had that reputation for quite some time. In a lot of homes and families and children. So thank you. Thank you. We're going to take our regular Sunday morning offering. We have another special or two. We had kids that went to Do-Re-Mi, the singing school, and I think they're going to do a special as well. And the church contributed to that, made that possible. And all these endeavors and mission works that we get involved in and the participation that we have as a church and as a people is, I think it honors the Lord. Amen? Glorifies His name. Brother Buckaloo, give thanks to the Lord, please. I'm thankful for the various music schools, music camps that we have. They are a blessing to our church. They're part of our history and part of our heritage. I went to them every year growing up. My children went to them every year growing up. It's part of who we were as Baptists. Back in the day, just about everybody knew how to lead a song, direct it properly and correctly. Knew what a treble clef was and G clef and all those things. We were familiar with the music in the books. And we'd know how to sing bass, tenor, soprano, alto, just like the group did earlier. And, we still sing songs with four-part harmony. And you got to have somebody singing those parts in order for it to work. And I'm all for music schools. We used to have them here occasionally, and might ought to have another one. It's something that all of us need. I think we ought to do everything we do to the best of our ability, especially when it comes to the work of the Lord. But more importantly, one of the young men that came back from Do-Re-Mi singing school told his parents the Spirit of the Lord was there in a great way. Isn't that wonderful? That our kids could go to that kind of camp and come back and report that the Holy Ghost was there in a mighty way. To sense that, to feel that, to experience that. Folks, you don't get that everywhere. You don't get that in the worldly camps that they go to, but they were able to experience that at music camp. And so I'm thankful for Brother Key Dillard and the work that he does and the other music schools. And I'm thankful for our kids that take an interest in their parents that also provide a way for them to get there. We want to go to God in prayer, and we want to pray. Ask God to bless us in our gathering this morning. Do you have a prayer request, something on your hearts? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The very song that the young people sang all week long is going to be our text this morning. They have it memorized, obviously. They sang it in their song. But it's an important verse. It's a pivotal verse. It's a pinnacle verse found in the book of Proverbs to help us find the clarity of life. The clarity of life. This principle, this proverb, is embedded in this third chapter as a mighty force for all the other principles and all the other proverbs that are found in the book of Proverbs. We were studying this past week about the heroes of the faith. The heroes of the faith. And if you read in Hebrews chapter 11, there's a long list of them. Many of them are not even named. It just mentions the various accomplishments, things that they went through, things they experienced, things that that happened in their life, how God used them, and they exercised faith. And in that Hebrew letter, there's a monument that is erected that is lifted up in memory of those heroes. And if you read the epitaph that God gives them, He says, "These all died in faith." They died in faith. One of the great elements that's missing today is that we should not have to go to the Bible to find heroes of the faith. There should be existing in each of our lives somebody who was a heroic person of faith. Just like Paul pointed out to the young man he was mentoring, Timothy, he said, you remember the heroic faith of your mother and your grandmother. See, Paul was pointing out that he had in his circle of life, he had people that were exercising heroic faith. I thank God for those folks that were placed in my life. I didn't have to go to the Old Testament and think that it was an old archaic thing for somebody to have heroic faith. There were people strategically placed in my life that were examples of true, genuine, sincere faith in God. They trusted, they lived their lives, and they trusted in the Lord. They trusted in the Lord. And it impacted me. And if you're saved by the grace of God, there was somebody that was strategically, providentially placed in your life that also was an example of heroic faith. The Spirit-filled life is a life of faith. Somebody who walks in the Spirit lives by faith. It starts with faith. It runs on faith. It ends in faith. It is faith from start to finish. People like a respectable faith today. They don't want any kind of faith that's unconformable. But I'm telling you that faith sometimes is not always pleasant. Sometimes faith is hard. Amen? Sometimes it causes discomfort. But today we live in a time where people want a faith that they can just live out, and they live out respectable lives, and they are never uncomfortable. Well, that's not biblical faith. That's not heroic faith. As we learned this past week in the various patriarchs that exhibited true faith. None of the blessings of God, none of the blessings of salvation can ever come in your life without faith.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It all begins, it all ends with faith. There is no virtue in Scripture any more excellent than faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. By faith. And we as a church and as a people, we need to be demonstrating heroic faith to the next generation. People that have great confidence and belief in God. The vitality of Christianity is determined by faith. Faith will make us or break us. It is faith that makes us faithful and zealous in the service of the Lord. It is faith that makes us constant in our labors, patient in our suffering, fervent in our love, earnest in our obedience. Faith is our shield of defense, amen? Without faith, we have no shield. Anything which weakens our faith, weakens our spiritual power. Christianity is founded on faith. It is by believing that the church of Jesus Christ is made strong. Made strong. Without it, we have no consolation. Without faith, we have no comfort. It is faith that saves us. It is faith that sanctifies us. And it is faith that secures us and keeps us safe. We need both grace and faith. Amen? By grace through faith, we are delivered. We're saved by grace through faith. You're saved. Paul made that very clear in Ephesians chapter 2. So there are many, many admonishments throughout the whole Bible, from beginning to end, summed up in this third chapter of Proverbs, verses 5 and 6. And these admonishments are for us to trust in the Lord. Oh, it's easier said than done. Much easier said than done. And so this is the pinnacle principle of life. And there are three things that we learn, three admonishments that are given to us. The first one is to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So we have a heart trust. That's the first admonishment, to have a heart trust. Secondly, we are told to not trust in our own understanding. Notice verse 5. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Thirdly, we are told to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. To acknowledge Him. The word acknowledge also is the same word for fellowship in the Hebrew. We are to have a constant fellowship with God. A constant fellowship with God. We are to trust with all of our heart. We are to not trust in our own understanding, and we're to have a fellowship kind of trust, or a continuous, perpetual fellowship with a holy God. And then we're given a promise. We're talking about the heart, the mind, and the soul, right? Trusting with all of our heart, with our mind, not lean to our own understanding. And to have a walk, a spiritual, soul-felt walk with a holy God. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him. And then He will do what? He will direct your path. He will direct your path. Now, this is going to be our text for this morning. I pray God will bless it for our good and for His glory. We need a greater display of biblical things in our lives. The book of Proverbs gives us that. You might recall in chapter 1, it begins with a personification of wisdom. Wisdom in the streets. Or she's crying out for people adopt her as a way of life. And we have so little wisdom. Proverbs is a manual for life. A manual for life. I thank God for Proverbs. The book of Proverbs will teach you how to manage your life. Okay? There are many principles, basic elementary principles on how to live your life. And wisdom, who is personified, and she's in the streets and she's crying out to people to adopt her, to come to her, to be wise. She cries out to the world. Even the scoffers, she admonishes the foolish people. Stop being foolish and naive. Understand wisdom. She cries out in the street in chapter 1. And this great manual for life is, well, people aren't using it. I'm convinced that the book of Proverbs will even dictate to you things concerning your involvement with the internet. It's probably the most influential thing in our life right now. And one of the most influential things in the lives of teenagers. And they recently have concluded that there's been more teenage suicides than ever before. Well, what's the most influential thing now that wasn't in their life then? Even psychiatrists and psychologists, they've come up with the fact that it's social media. And even Proverbs gives us some insight concerning social interaction, right? A lot of instruction concerning social interaction. What we're exposing our children to is important. Monitoring what we expose them to is important. And Proverbs is filled with that. In chapter 2, it's a father admonishing a son concerning him adopting wisdom as a way of life. See, wisdom is not just knowledge, it's conduct. It's your behavior, it's what you do, it's your action. That's wisdom, amen? Not just knowing how to live, but living out that way of life that wisdom has prescribed. That's wisdom. If you don't live it, then you're not wise. Can I get an amen? And so this life manual is very important. It's very important not just for the church and for Christian homes and Christian families, for fathers, for mothers, for children, but it's important for the world. It gives us clarity of life. Helps us understand the way we are to live our lives. A great book, man, the book of Proverbs. One of the first vacation Bible school lessons I ever wrote was at Landmark years ago, and I entitled it, The Power of the Proverbs. The Power of the Proverbs. In Proverbs 6 and 21, there are some things spelled out real clearly about how important these things are. He says, bind them constantly upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it will lead you. When thou sleepest, it will keep you. When thou awakest, it shall walk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Wow! How important the book of Proverbs is. You know, growing up, the only thing I thought was in the book of Proverbs was spare the rod, spoil the child. Only thing I knew was in Proverbs, and I knew that real well growing up. But there's a lot of other information. Information on how to have a good marriage, how to have good intimacy in your marriage. We looked at that on a Wednesday night concerning the various principles for life, the diamonds for daily living, and we're compiling a book of various things that the Scriptures teach concerning our marriage, our interaction with one another as husband and wife, our interaction with our children, our interaction with our workers, our co-workers, our interaction with our neighbors and our friends and our relatives, with believers and unbelievers. There's all kinds of instructions. instructions. Listen, nowhere in the Bible does it teach you get saved and then you live any way you want to. Nowhere does the Scriptures teach that. You know, what's amazing to me as a pastor, I mean, this is amazing. I'm astonished. I'll teach a lesson and sound an alarm, give instruction, give a warning. And I can't believe it. By the end, I'll do that on Wednesday night, and by Saturday, somebody has fallen right into that thing, done exactly what I said, what the Bible says not to do. They've done. I'm like, amazed. Amazed. People are not reading the Scriptures, they're not studying the Scriptures, and they are not applying God's Word to their lives, or they wouldn't be getting their lives in such a mess. This wasn't. But I'm not responsible for the hearing it. I'm just responsible for the presenting of it. You're responsible for hearing it. I'll answer to God for what I teach and preach, and you'll answer to God for what you show up and hear. Amen? You know, they'll call me and say, how did I get my life in such a mess? How did I get off on this or that? And, you know, well, first of all, people need to study the Word of God. Can I get amen? The answer is in the Word of God. The answer is in the Word of God. I didn't mean to get off on that. The Bible is very precious. Proverbs is very special. Very special. It gives us principles, and they're clear, and they're stated principles. Easy to understand. Easy to comprehend. They're little concise terms that you can memorize and remember as you go through life and various situations of life. The teenagers had some instructions concerning finances. Did you know the Bible is full of information concerning finances? We looked at that on Wednesday nights, didn't we? I write out of the Bible concerning debt. All of that's in Proverbs. All these various instructions, if we would just apply them to our lives. But the pinnacle one, the most important one, is found right here in chapter 3. Folks, if you don't get this right in trusting the Lord to save you, you've missed everything. It's the beginning principle. I know sometimes in Proverbs it talks about instruction. Sometimes wisdom is presented as instruction. Sometimes as understanding and discretion. But wisdom is not just simple thought. It's action. It's applying yourself. It's entrusting yourself to these truths of God's holy word. And so the whole book of Proverbs calls on us to come to wisdom. It's so important. It says in chapter 2 and verse 4, if you seek her as silver and you search for her as hidden treasure. Okay, what do you got to do to get this wisdom? You got to look for it. No, you've got to search for it like you're searching for wealth, for gold, for silver. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord. If there's not in you the desire to find it, you'll never find it. You search for it like you would gold or silver, like you would search for riches. You must search for this biblical, spiritual, Holy Ghost-given wisdom. And if you have the initiative to search for it, then he says, notice in verse 4, then you will discern the fear of the Lord, you will discern the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. The Bible says we ought to pursue it
And we should. And I could go on and on. And I'm about this. It's all chapter 8, verse 11. Knowing how to conduct your life is more important than riches. I'd rather my kids be poor and have their spiritual hearts right before God and living for God than I would for them to be rich and caught up in the world living like the devil. This wisdom, this divine wisdom, this spiritual wisdom, it is said in verse 11 that it is better than jewels and other desirable things. They just simply cannot compare to her. Can't compare to her. So in this manual, this overreaching lesson in the manual is that we pursue wisdom. I think it later on will say that in Proverbs, the children that seek wisdom are a blessing to their father, and those that do not are a disappointment to their mother. But the word trust in the Hebrew means to just lay yourself out. I'm not going to get past trust, am I? With all your heart. The Hebrew word means to just lay yourself out before God. To allow Him to have complete control over your life. That's trusting in the Lord. It means to be helplessly face down in humility with a complete submission to the control of God. That's trusting in the Lord. Amen. Now I'll say this. If you've been saved, you've done that. That trust, faith, belief. I mean, all these various admonitions throughout Scripture about finding heaven and eternal life and salvation all comes as a result of faith. See, faith receives what grace provides. Now, I know I hear sometimes people talk about faith in a wrong way. And look, God gives grace. God gives grace. But you're responsible for believing. You're accountable for trusting. God does not trust for you. You must do the trusting. And in trusting the Lord, you're simply lying there humbly in submission to His control, pouring yourself out like water on the ground. Amen. Surrendering. We don't save ourselves, but we do the surrendering. You got to surrender your life to the Lord, or you'll never be saved. Jesus, on many occasions, talked about this faith. Well, let me close with what faith is, what trust is. We know that faith is described as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter. We know there's many statements about faith, but it boils down to three things. First of all, somebody who trusts in the Lord feels a need for God. A need for the favor of God upon their lives. It starts with a felt need. Everybody say a felt need. A felt need. You need God in your life. You'll never trust in the Lord till you realize you need the Lord. That comes through those heroes of faith. It comes through the gospel. It comes through conviction of sin. Amen. You gotta have a felt need for the Lord. A need for redemption, a need for salvation, a need for regeneration, a need for righteousness, a need for holiness, a need for deliverance, a need for the ransom price to be paid, and redemption take hold of your life and soul. A need for a change where you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. A need for the new birth. You need to have a felt need. That's where it all starts. Trusting begins with a felt need. Secondly, everybody say secondly.
First, we need a felt need. Secondly, you need the information, right? You start searching for the information. Who can help me? I don't necessarily need a hero. I need a superhero. Right, kids? We need a superhero. It's the information. You start searching for the information. Who can supply my need of salvation? Who can supply my need of redemption? My need of righteousness? My need of holiness? Who supplies the grace that saves? Huh? Do you have the information? Who supplies redemption? Say it with me. Jesus. Oh, you guys already have the information, huh? Ah, some of you already have the felt need. And you know there's only one that can supply that need, and that's Christ. Yeah. So you have the felt need. You have the information. It's Jesus. Can somebody else do it? Is He the only one that can supply you the help you need? Can I get amen? Yes, He is. You need Jesus. Everybody say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. But look, faith, the triology of faith, the three main essences of faith or trusting is not only just the felt need and the information that supplies the need, but it's committing yourself to that. Amen? Surrendering yourself to that. Laying yourself out before that, right? Surrendering and submitting the act of faith. Believing and trusting, placing your confidence and your assurance in what He provides. And what did He provide? On the cross of Calvary, He provided a ransom for your soul. Amen. David, get a song. You haven't trusted the Lord until you've gone through that process. I'm going to say that again. You have not trusted in the Lord till you've had the felt need. You realize that Christ is the only remedy, and you submit and you surrender to that. You know, a lot of the young people that were in Vacation Bible School, they think it's all part of the mind, but it's trusting with the heart. Amen? And we tried to move that stuff 18 inches out of their head into their heart. You know, tell them it's more than just a belief in Jesus. It's a trust. It's a heartfelt trust. Amen? Yeah. I tell you what, when you are brought to the end of yourself, you'll find Jesus. As long as you're hanging on to something else, whether it's false doctrine or false teaching or some kind of self-righteousness or self-confidence, if there's any kind of self stuff going on there and it's not the Savior trust, you're lost and in your sins. As we stand, is there somebody here? You've got a felt need. I need help. Oh, I need help. Need help. If you have never gone through that process, felt need, Jesus being the only answer, and a complete commitment and surrender to that, then you've never trusted in the Lord. And that's the pinnacle proverb. That's the pinnacle principle for clarity of life. Where you have a straight life, a life that unfolds in relationship to God and His purpose for you. He takes out all the wrinkles of life, gives you straightness of path. Can I get amen? Amen. That's where it all begins right there. Trusting in the Lord, going through life, acknowledging Him with everything you do, and everything you do, having fellowship with Him, not leaning to your own understanding. Several years ago, there was somebody one time that I was dealing with, and their mind had all this heresy in it. I mean, they had all this false teaching. They had misinformation in their mind. Will that mess you up? Had all this misinformation in their mind. But in their soul, there was something going on. There was trouble of the soul. Their heart had a felt need. Had a felt need. And I told that individual, I said, I'll tell you what, don't let the mind block you or hinder you from hearing your heart. Just let all that stuff go. Just let it go. Listen to your heart. Don't harden your heart because of this misinformation. Just yield yourself to the Lord. And that person finally stopped listening to their mind and just surrendered their heart. Just laid face down before the Lord. Submitting to the control of God. Look, I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to believe what I believe. I'm just asking you to test it. Test it. Go directly to God. Amen? Yeah. Men might fool you. I mean, there's a lot of crafty speakers and a lot of deceivers have gone out in the world. That's what Jesus said. A lot of deceivers have gone out in the world. But if you go directly to God for your answer, okay, then the answer will be true. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the Spirit of truth. And you need that kind of truth in your soul. Amen. Well, you know you're going to heaven when you die. I appreciate you listening to me. I want all of you to have that heroic kind of faith. The next generation needs to see that in you, exemplified in you, where you trust in the Lord with your heart. Trust not in your own understanding. Trust with the soul till you have a relationship and fellowship with God. And He will guide your ways. He will direct your path. He'll put you on the straight and the narrow. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. But few there be